God has that picture, but his faithfulness is to reveal it to us through Christ.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace.
Thanks for joining us at the Hope of Our Calling. Let's get started.
We are in the book of Genesis. We decided that we are going to start at the beginning and move through the scriptures verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. So I hope that you are going to be tremendously blessed, that you will learn things you may not have seen before, because every time we do go through God's word, it is a blessing, because as it is the living word, it reveals new things to us every single time we go through it. So what we need to start off with as an introduction is the Bible, since we're starting at the very beginning. The Bible is composed of 66 books that are written by 40 different writers over a stretch of 1,500 years. Yet throughout that 1,500 years, there is one consistent storyline that runs all the way through, a scarlet thread, you might say, as we will later see. But there is really and truly only one author of the Bible, and that's God himself. Because God has had a plan that was created before the foundations of the world. It's a plan of redemption and salvation. Ultimately, it's a plan of love. It's a plan for his most precious creation to come to know him, but more importantly, come to know love. And that's you and I. That's what God is revealing to us, not only in our lifetime and through the sanctification process of our time, but through the wonderful wealth of history we have in the Word of God, the Bible. And so even though we can factually state it that there's 66 authors, there's really only one. There's the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit inspired men to write God's Word. So let's just jump right in and start with Genesis, the book of beginnings, the beginning of time, the beginning of the heavens and the earth, the beginnings of the universe and the stars and the celestial bodies, the beginning of the seas and the sea creatures, the beginnings of the grass and the herbs yielding seed and the fruit trees, the beginning of the sun and the moon, the beginning of the night and the day, the beginning of every moving creature and fowl that flies, the beginning of the whales, the beginning of the waters, the beginning of everything that God said was good and called to be fruitful and multiply, the beginning of mankind created in God's image, the creation of man's dominion, the beginning of redemption, the beginning of the need of redemption through man's fall, the beginning of the enemy of our soul having authority over our flesh until we come back to the Lord. So, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So who is God? If we look at the Bible, in Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." You see, God has existed, period. And the Bible doesn't open up with an explanation of who he is. It just simply states, "In the beginning, God." A point where we need to choose who we will believe, God or mortal sinful flesh. When Moses asked God who he should say sent him to lead the people, God said to Moses in Exodus 3, verse 14, "I am who I am," he said. "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me." God is I am. He is everything we need, everything that is. He simply exists as I am. That's how God describes himself. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and is to come, the Almighty." In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, it says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me." God is God. And the very first verse establishes an order. God created. Not mankind, but God. In that knowledge, we must submit. We must acknowledge that we are a finite being, while God is infinite. We are created while God is creator. The word created in the first verse in the Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, is bara. It means created out of nothing. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made," that's us, "even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says that the hidden things belong to God, but the revealed things belong to us, that we might teach our children. There's a simple order in the universe. It's simply sinful mankind, shamed mankind, guilty mankind, that seeks to build up a complex, complicated leap theory of anything but in the beginning, God. And the greatest thing that we learn from studying God's word from Genesis to Revelation is that God loves us. Genesis is the beginning of a redemption plan from the beginning. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature, upholding all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Did you catch that? He is upholding all things by the word of his power. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, speaking of Christ, it said, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth," this is verse 16, "visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Now, I've leaped ahead. We need to actually take a look at the fourth word in this verse. In the beginning, God. It's easy for our finite mind to immediately assume this is one entity. But in actuality, in the original language, in the Hebrew, in order for it to be a one person, it would have to read in the beginning, El. One God, El. But it doesn't. In the original language, in the original manuscripts, it says, in the beginning, Elohim created. In the Hebrew language, when they use plural, where in the English we would use an S at the end of the word, they use im, Elohim. In other words, the word indicates, suggests, causes us to dive in and dig a little bit deeper that there is more than one person. Person applies to humanity. That doesn't apply to God. But there is more than one spirit, because the word declares that God is a spirit and must be worshipped in truth and spirit. There's more than one spirit at work here. And as we study Scripture, we learn that it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But to further understand that, let's take a look at the Gospel of John, starting at verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Here it is. "And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." Drop down to verse 10. It says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." And if we drop down further to verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." It's so important to read God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. I've often taught it's as if we are collecting puzzle pieces to one big puzzle where God holds the lid. You know how you do a puzzle? You set the lid up so that you can try to follow the picture. God has that picture, but his faithfulness is to reveal it to us through Christ. So in the beginning, Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. This is the first mention of the Holy Spirit. The original language says Ruach Elohim. Ruach is breath or spirit. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Notice he simply said, "Let there be light." Verse 4, "And God," Elohim, the plural, "saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Now I want you to pay attention to this phrase, because it's listed time and time again. "And the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day." God is creating a 24-hour period of time right here. He is creating day. "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. This is the second time we hear this phrase. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind." Again, this phrase is another repeated phrase. When you're going through and you're making observations of the text you're reading, you always want to look for what's repeated, because that's a theme. That's something you want to investigate. That's something you want to understand. "So the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." Do you notice that throughout time, grain seed has never been planted and come up corn? Grain seed has produced grain. Man seed has produced man. God spells out in the first chapter that there is an order to things that he created. It is simply failed man who has fallen from the holiness he was created in that twists reality and calls it truth. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielded fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Do you think God is trying to tell us something? Do you think that he's trying to show us something? God wants to reveal himself to us. Remember Deuteronomy 29:29. The hidden things belong to God, but the things he has revealed to us belong to the sons of men. They belong to us because God wants us to know him. Most importantly, you will find that God wants us to know love because that is what he is. But he needs us to comprehend it completely. True love is selfless. It's sacrificial. And yet, if you think about how love is used today, I don't think that selfless is in there. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Beloved, I want you guys to understand something. We could spend months on this chapter, on the first three chapters of Genesis. I'm just kind of getting a rhythm, getting us going, doing my best to bring things to light that'll help us as we go through the scriptures. Please, please go back, read these scriptures again, see if the Holy Spirit provokes you to dig a little bit deeper in the original language, to dig a little bit deeper through parallel Bibles to understand it more fully, what's being said here. Look into the scriptures, look into the commentators, come to an understanding for yourself based on the Holy Spirit's guidance. And most of all, let scripture interpret scripture. And the reason that I brought that up is notice here in 14 where it says, and let them be for signs. And to challenge you, go find out what that means. Email me back, KendraMartinMinistries@gmail.com. Let me know what you've come up with. Verse 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Wow, a lot's happened in just 4 days. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, beginning of life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, now here we get another repeated phrase, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters in the sea and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. I sound like I'm being redundant, but I'm speaking God's word. God desires for us to have understanding of his order, that when mankind twists truth, we have God's word to come back with, much as Jesus did when he was challenged by Satan in the wilderness. Jesus responded with, it is written, it is written, it is written. We too can now respond likewise. Be fruitful and multiply. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Saints, do you understand how evolution has poisoned the minds of our children, has poisoned the mind for generation? People have no sense of value anymore because they think they came from a primordial soup or from monkeys. In the beginning, God, the Creator Himself, says that is not so. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Do you see our value? After our likeness. He's speaking about himself making man in his image. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Do you see the value that God has placed on mankind, and we have allowed it to decay to such a place where we legislate the taking of a life in a mother's womb because we have twisted the truth. For those that don't know God's word, at one point in my life, I did not know God's word. I lay susceptible to all the trickeries of mankind. We all have our testimony. But by the grace of God, go I. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing plan of redemption you are writing out for us, the very start. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, and I want you to catch this, folks. I want you to get this. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Do you understand, saints? There is no means of multiplication or replenishment of the earth in the homosexual lifestyle. They have been sold a lie from the liar, from the deceiver. God does not make garbage. We've just read about our value. If we diminish our value, he has not. He is faithful, and his mercy is new every morning for everyone, believer and unbeliever. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, and you it shall be for meat. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. Notice that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, you may ask why I'm harping on, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Because we have to look at the authority of God. We have to understand that God has all authority. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 says, "You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Saints, we must acknowledge and establish that God is the source of all authority. In the beginning, God. If we do not reverence him as God, acknowledge his authority as the creator, then where will that stop in scripture? Many will take the Bible and pick it apart, keeping those scriptures they want to keep and disregarding the others. We can't do that because this is God's word, God's order, God's authority, God's revelation to us, the created ones made in his image, that we might understand the full story. In Psalm chapter 138, verse 2, it says, "I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." He's magnified his word. Why? Because it's valuable. It is our understanding of what's going on, why we are, who we are, what's our purpose. Who is God? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, one of my favorite verses, it says, "Without faith," which I boil down to fabulous adventures in trusting him, faith. "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." And catch this part. This is a sweet part. "And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Are you seeking him? In Psalm chapter 119, verses 18, it says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." There's so much I wanted to share in this initial podcast, but in Genesis, but we got another one next week, and it'll be filled full just like today's is. I really want to convey that God loves us enough to reveal his plan, to reveal his purpose. And we must receive that knowledge and lock it deep in our heart, because there's an adversary that we see in chapter 3 that launches attacks on us. Hath God truly said? Yes, God has truly said we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God has truly said that underneath us are the everlasting arms of love. God has truly said that he was, he is, and he will come again for us. He has a plan that is magnificent, that the scriptures unravel for us. But it's a treasure hunt, saints. Are you up for it? Do you desire it? Do you seek it? Do you hunger for it? I hope so, because he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
For more information on Hope of Our Calling, go to agapechapeloc.org/Kendra or email her at kendramartinministries@gmail.com.